One of the highlights of Retro Festival here is an appearance this afternoon by Debbie Greenberg, who owned the famous Cavern Club in the 60s in Liverpool. And Debbie joins me now. Good afternoon, Debbie.
Good afternoon, Paul.
So tell us first about your story in Liverpool.
Well, I was born and bred in Liverpool. And when I became old enough, which was about the age of 14, I was able to go to the Cavern Club. It wasn't licensed, so the kids could go in there. And I was a member of the Cavern Club right through to 1966. And then my father bought the Cavern and I ran it for him until 1971.
So you mentioned member. Was it a membership club, as it were?
Yes, it was. You paid an extra shilling to become a member. And then you got an extra sixpence off when you went in.
And the concerts, a lot of them were in the lunchtime, weren't they?
Yes, most of them were. The best ones were at lunchtime. That's when the Beatles had their debut. And that was on the 9th of February 1961, and I was there.
That's brilliant. What a claim to fame, eh?
They were fantastic. They'd appeared on the Litherland Town Hall, a venue outside of Liverpool, in December on the 27th. And they'd been billed as a German group, direct from Hamburg.
And really?
And they were the talk of the town because they'd, by all accounts, had given an incendiary performance. So we couldn't wait to see them. And when they arrived at the Cavern on the 9th of Feb, of course, they weren't German at all. They were Scousers. They were Liverpudlians. And that was fabulous for us. And they just exploded onto the stage. Their energy was palpable. They were exciting. They were intoxicating. They were loud. They were raw. And we just knew right away that they were going to be big. You just knew it. So, we couldn't get enough of them.
Yeah. So how many people were there for the first performance? Because it was quite small, wasn't it?
It was. The Cavern was small. But the capacity was about 600 people. And I reckon there were quite a lot more than that there.
Really?
Yes.
And what were they like as people?
The Beatles were full of fun. That's all it was, all the time. Fun, fun, fun. Paul and John had wonderful chemistry between them. They'd bounce off one another with humorous banter, and they'd interact with the audience because the stage was so close to the audience. It was like a private party every time they played. It was a fantastic atmosphere.
Brilliant. And just tell us about what went on as well as the Beatles at the Cavern Club.
Well, of course, we had all Liverpool groups that became famous in their own right after the Beatles, like Gerry and the Pacemakers and the Searchers, the Foremost, the Big Three, who almost became famous. We had all sorts of big groups in Liverpool, all good groups, about 300 of them. They were all
really
good,
300
yes,
groups
over 300, but none of them could touch the Beatles. They were something special.
And they did have quite a history of hard slog, let's say, in Hamburg.
Indeed they did.
And also in the Cavern Club, they did a lot of concerts. So
yes.
How do you think that helped form them as professionals?
I think that formed them in Hamburg. They had to play for 7 hours a night with just 10-minute breaks each hour. And that really made them... Klaus Voormann said that it made them from talented amateurs into a band of bands, and he was right, it did. When they came back from Hamburg the second time, you could see that they really had turned professional by then.
7 hours?
Yes.
It's hard to even imagine, isn't it?
Yes. So they were ready to entertain us at the Cavern, and
we
really didn't want them to go every time they finished.
And their slots at the Cavern, how long were they?
They were about half an hour, and then a small interval, and then another half hour, and then...
And did they play the same songs over and over, or a real mixture?
A very big mixture. In the beginning, they played a lot of rock and roll, a lot of Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and they also played ballads. Paul would sing Besame Mucho, Until There Was You, and then they'd intersperse it with Twist and Shout from John, and Long Tall Sally from Paul. So, you know, it was a real mixture, but it didn't, they could have sung the Dictionary, we didn't care. We loved them, you know, we didn't want them to ever go off the stage.
So there was a lot of audience shouting and cheering, presumably.
No, that didn't happen, you know, in the early days. We used to ask for requests and interact with them, ask them questions, and they'd react with us. So the screaming didn't start until America. So we were able to see the Beatles in comfort.
And in the end, I think they got fed up of the screaming, didn't they?
They did. They couldn't even hear themselves sing in the end, yes.
Because they gave up, I think, I don't know where it was, somewhere in America, they basically decided to get out of live performance.
Yes.
After a concert because
Shea
of the
Stadium.
Screaming. They just couldn't hear themselves sing.
That's right. That was at Shea Stadium, yes.
Now, you took ownership of the Cavern Club. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, the Cavern Club was owned originally by Alan Sittner, who was a jazz fanatic, and then the new owner, Ray McFall, took over in 1959, and then he ran it successfully up until 1966, but unfortunately on the 28th of Feb 66 it closed because he declared bankruptcy. A couple of weeks later, a friend of my father's who had a restaurant in Duke Street in Liverpool. It was open till 4 o'clock in the morning, and the groups used to go and get their meals after their gigs. And he approached my dad and said, "Alf, I've got the chance of buying the Cavern. Will you come in with me?" And so Dad came to me then and said, "I've got the chance of buying the Cavern. What do you think?" Well, you know, offer the child a key to a sweet shop. It's not going to say no. But then I had a business head as well. And I said, "Look, Dad, I've seen it peak and I know it can happen again and I think you should take it." And on my say-so, he and Joe bought the Cavern. And we ran it successfully, brought it right back up to peak in 1971.
So, I'm going to cut in on one thing, one question. Cilla White?
Oh, yes. Well, Cilla worked the cloakroom, which was to the right of the stage, and she would often get up with the Beatles to sing. She'd sing Summertime or Fever, and John Lennon used to say, "Come on, Cyril." She used to call us. He used to call us Cyril. Give us a song. And she'd sing often with them, yes.
And that was when she was still doing the cloakroom.
That's right, yes.
And what happened to her? How did she make the jump to being a...
Well, it was down to Brian Epstein in the end. Yes. He'd spotted her.
She went from white to black.
She did. And he took her under his wing with the Beatles and Jerry and the Foremost and all the others, yes.
One of the great things about the Beatles in America, of course, was they turned up, and one of the great things they did was one of the concerts, they actually said, "What's this about segregation?"
That's right.
And they said...
"We were not going to do it if you do that."
So, and it was the first concert without segregation.
Yes.
Good on them.
Absolutely.
So, Debbie, tell us about your book.
Yes, my book is called Cavern Club, The Inside Story. I was prompted to write this book because there were rumours going around Liverpool that the blame for the demolition of the original Cavern was being laid at my father's feet, and he was no longer with us. And I knew the true story, and so that's what prompted me to write the book.
So all your lovely memories are in there for posterity,
absolutely.
As it were.
Yes.
And I went to the Beatles Story in Liverpool, and
yes.
There was a mock-up there of
yes.
the Cavern Club, is
yes.
that right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
It's an excellent mock-up.
Mm.
It's a fabulous mock-up. It's as close as you're going to get to the original Cavern.
Mm.
The replica in Matthew Street is very good, but if I had to choose between the two... if the other one was a proper club, that's a better replica.
And tell us about 3 o'clock this afternoon here at Retro Festival.
Yes, 3 o'clock. I'm in the Dark Star radio tent with Kennet Radio, and I'm doing a presentation all about my 10 years at the Cavern, 5 years as a member and 5 years as an owner.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us, Debbie. It's a real treat. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you.